Let's pray together. Lord, we have lifted our hearts and voices in worship, in unison, and it's most this way. Receive it, we pray. And grant, we ask, that as we look at your word now, you would speak to us. Help us as we listen and speak, that it might be a precious time to learn about rich and deep spiritual experience in Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's open up our Bibles at Romans chapter 8. And we're in the 25th episode of this series on Romans. And Romans chapter 8, you'll find this on page 1134 of the Church Bible. And we're in the paragraph that starts at verse 14 and goes on to verse 17 in Romans chapter 8. Now, for disciples of Jesus, this particular paragraph is one of the greatest paragraphs in the whole of the Scripture. It's a real Aladdin's cave of treasures for us. And there are two main thrilling words that are repeated in this paragraph. And those two words are linked together. I'm going to read the paragraph and see if you can spot those words. Romans 8, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live again in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, the two main words or terms that are used in this paragraph, Holy Spirit and children of God. And the paragraph is exploding with teaching about the Holy Spirit. And also the paragraph is bursting with teaching about the children of God. And the Apostle Paul, as he writes this, brings these two together, the Holy Spirit and the children of God. So, for example, in verse 14, we read, which is our verse this morning, the Spirit leads the children of God. Next week, in verse 15, we'll see that we've received the Spirit of God, and that Spirit brings about our childhood, our sonship to God. When we get to verse 16, we'll see that the Spirit testifies to us that we are God's children. And then in verse 17, we see the children of God are heirs of God. So you've got these two terms, children of God and the Holy Spirit, brought together. And they provide for us some of the deepest and richest teaching about our spiritual experiences that we can have in this world. These verses are truly amazing. So we're going to take our time working through them, as we have with all of Romans chapter 8. We're going to take one verse a week from this paragraph over the next few weeks. We are obviously aware of the kind of situation that we live in the world at the moment, and that might have to alter as time goes on. But the plan at the moment is that we take one verse a week for the next few weeks. So this morning then, verse 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Now, the first point from this morning is very simple. The Spirit leads God's children. The Spirit leads God's children. Now, that is a well-known thing. The fact that God leads his people is well-known from the Scriptures. And we know that he leads us because of what we've just sung in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. So God leads his people. You've heard before the story of the tourist in Israel who was going around in their air-conditioned coach. And the tour guide was saying to all the people on that coach that when you see a flock of sheep, you are of the flock of sheep, leading and guiding the flock. That's where they'll be. So the tourist remembers this. And then as the tour goes on, and two or three days later, they come across this flock of sheep by the side of the road. And there's a man not in front, but behind. And this tourist was outraged and said to the tour guide, "You told me that shepherds over here, they actually go in front to lead the sheep, not behind to drive the sheep." And the tour guide said, "Yes, sir, that's not the shepherd, that's the butcher." Yeah, okay. The shepherd leads the sheep. God leads his people. He doesn't drive us. He leads us. He led Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. He was a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night. And when Israel were encamped, then that pillar of fire and cloud was set over the tabernacle. When it moved, the people moved. And Israel had no idea how to get from Egypt to the promised land. They'd never been that way before, had no idea how to get there. They didn't have a sat-nav, they didn't have Google Maps or anything. So how would they get free if God led them? And God did lead them. So Moses said, "Remember how God led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness." So God leads his people. It's a biblical fact. And still today, God leads his people. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 says, "The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will lead them to springs of living water." And that's today. Our shepherd leads us to springs of living water. So along life's narrow way, God leads us. He directs us by the Spirit, and he prompts us by his Spirit. Now, those promptings of the Spirit, those leadings of the Spirit, are never, ever against the Word of God. The Spirit would never prompt us to steal or to hate or to take revenge or to destroy a person. The Spirit leads us and prompts us and directs us in keeping with God's Word. But the Spirit does prompt us. God leads his people. He doesn't leave us on our own. As we sung, "No, never alone." God is always with us. He gives us his instructions to direct us and guide us. He tells us how to live so as to please him. So here's our first point. The Spirit leads God's children. Our second point is this. The Spirit leads us gently. Gently. We read from John chapter 16. Don't turn to that now. We're coming to that a bit later. But in that whole episode of Jesus teaching his disciples on the last night of his life, in the upper room, he washed their feet, he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he taught them many rich and precious things. And one of the things he said to them was that, "I am going away, but I will send you another counselor." And there are two Greek words for another. One means another of a different kind, and one means another of the same kind. And the one that Jesus used was, "I will send you another of the same kind as me," as Jesus. So the Spirit that will come will be just like me, but he won't have a body, he's the Spirit. But he will be another counselor, another Jesus, if you like. So we are expecting the Spirit then to be just like Jesus. And what was Jesus like? Well, it's reported of Jesus that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, a gentle shepherd. It was prophesied about Jesus that he would tend his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He will gently lead those that have young. That's from Isaiah. It's a prophecy of our Savior. He will gently lead us. So the Spirit then, another Jesus, doesn't drive us with brute force or even against our will. The Spirit is not violent. He doesn't browbeat. He's a gentle Savior, closest friend as Jesus. And the emblem of the Spirit is a dove. When Jesus was being baptized, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit descending on him like a dove, a gentle spirit. And remember that the Spirit is sensitive. He can be grieved, offended, and quenched. This doesn't mean to say that he's not tough and powerful and able to sort things out. Jesus was tough and powerful and able to sort things out, but he did it gently. So too the Holy Spirit. He does some very tough things in very gentle ways. So the Holy Spirit then gently leads us. He doesn't drive us or force us, but gently leads us. It's unlike being led by the flesh, and we've seen that Romans 8 and Romans 7 is a lot about the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit, and they are totally... When we are led by the flesh, we're actually driven on by the flesh. The flesh drives us on in its passions and impulses and instincts and its coercive desires, and so that we rage and boil over. When we are driven on by the flesh, that's the result. You can always tell someone who's driven by the flesh, they get all hot under the collar, they get all angry, they get shaky, they get mad, they lose control. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't drive us to that. He doesn't bully us into that. The Holy Spirit gently leads us. Unlike us at times, when we want someone to do something that we want them to do, okay, I'll repeat it. When we want someone to do something that we want them to do, then so often we're heavy-handed. We force them, we badger them, we intimidate them, we bludgeon them with our words and with our style. And so they respond by doing it, but their heart's not in it. And that's no good. No good at all. Because God doesn't look at the outward, he looks at the heart. But the Holy Spirit doesn't drive us. He doesn't bludgeon us. He's not a brute force. The Holy Spirit wins our hearts and makes us willing in the day of his power. So we're not driven people. That's a big term in the business world and the world, isn't it? Well, that person's got some drive about them. They're driven. Do you know, I'm really uncomfortable with books written for the church and for Christians with the title Driven In, the purpose-driven church. The purpose-driven life. God doesn't drive us. He woos us. He wins us and gently leads us. We're not driven as if Holy Spirit were a cattle driver. No, he's a shepherd who leads us to springs of living waters. He gently leads. Well, let's ask a third thing. How does the Spirit lead us? How does the Spirit do that? Well, he leads us by leading us into all truth. So this is where we go to John's Gospel. Keep a marker in Romans 8, because we're going to come back in there, not for a little while, but we are going to come back to Romans 8. But come to John's Gospel in chapter 16, page 1084. And Jesus here spoke a lot about the Holy Spirit. If you want to know as much as you can about the Holy Spirit, read John 14, 15, and 16, as well as Romans 8. But in John chapter 16, this is what Jesus said in verse 13. Well, let's start from verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. This is what the Spirit will do. He will guide us, not force us, not drive us, but guide us into the truth. What is the truth? Well, look at the next page in your Bible, John chapter 17, and look there at verse 17. And there Jesus is praying, and he says this, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. If you compare those two verses together, John 16, verse 13, where the Spirit will guide you into all truth, and John 17, verse 17, where we read that the word of God is truth, you'll see how the Spirit and the word link together. The Spirit and the Word always go together. Somebody once said that too much Spirit, blow up. Too much Word, dry up. Word and Spirit together, grow up. And so the Spirit and the Word, they work together. So the Spirit guides us into all truth. The truth is God's Word. So we're expecting them, the Holy Spirit, to actually lead us into the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit works by guiding us into the truth of the Bible. Now, how does he do that? Well, he does it by working in our minds and in our thinking and our understanding. So he enlightens our minds. He gives us understanding to the truth of God's word. The Apostle John wrote this, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." It's the Holy Spirit that's the anointing. So we've got this anointing so that we know the truth. How do we know the truth? It's because the Spirit has worked in our minds. See, we can't work out the truth without the Spirit. It's the natural mind, the mind driven by the flesh, is blind to the things of God and can never, ever work out the things of God. So we need our minds enlightening. And it's just what the Holy Spirit does. The old-fashioned way, isn't it, that people would say when somebody becomes a Christian, they say, oh, he's seen the light. But it's true. We have seen the light because the Spirit works in our minds to illumine our minds to the things of God. We can't understand it naturally, but by the Spirit, we're persuaded by it. And that's the next thing that happens. So he leads us into all truth by enlightening our minds and then persuading us that the Bible is right. And that's a way of referring to newborn Christians in Acts of the Apostles, that they were persuaded that it's right. So that's how the Holy Spirit works in us, enlightens us and persuades us so that then we are willing to do the Word of God. So there's three steps here in this process of how the Spirit guides us. He enlightens us, we know the truth. He persuades us, we know the truth is real, and he makes us willing to follow the truth. He gently does that. And it's amazing, really, isn't it? Because I guess for many people here this morning, you'd say, well, I never even bothered with the Bible. And then I tried to pick it up and read it. I thought, I don't understand that stuff at all. But now I understand it a little. And now I love to read the Bible a lot. What's happened? What's happened is that the Spirit has gently led you into the truth. And the Spirit doesn't just do that at the beginning of our Christian life. He does it throughout our Christian lives. So this is how the Spirit leads us. He gives us understanding and enlightenment. He persuades us it's true. And then our will is changed to do what we are persuaded is right. Okay, fourth and final thing. What are the results of being led by the Spirit? Well, there's a few beautiful results of being led by the Spirit of God. The first is this. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you'll have a spiritual outlook on life. You'll have a spiritual outlook on life. You no longer see life as merely here, now, and physical. You'll see that there's a spiritual dimension, a spiritual element to life. You'll see that there's something bigger and better than the material and the physical that's all around us. If the Spirit leads you into all truth, then you will think differently about money, about your possessions, your property, your gadgets, and your use of time. You'll become spiritually discerning. The Spirit leads us. He shows us that there is more to life than what we've got now. And worry, as well as on this thing about this, the Spirit, spiritual outlook, worry won't cripple us because we know we're in God's hands. You know, with this coronavirus that's going around at the moment, and not just at the moment, but we're told for a few months ahead as well, maybe longer. We're not flippant about that, and we're very careful to follow guidelines and be sensible and to think of others when it comes to the coronavirus. But it doesn't make us worried sick. You ever heard that expression that unbelievers use, the world uses? Oh, I'm worried sick about that. A Christian is never worried sick. We know we're in God's hands, but we're not flippant about it. We know it's really serious, but we're in God's hands. So it doesn't cripple us. Now, I rung my mum this past week. I'm a good son. I ring her at least once a year. And I was just speaking to her, just checking out. Mum, are you all right about this coronavirus thing that's going around at the moment? Are you okay? And she's 80-something. I say 80-something because she never tells me her age, and I don't know how old she is, but she's 80-something. And I'm thinking, Mum, are you sure you're okay? Are you sure okay to go to church tomorrow? Are they taking precautions at your church tomorrow? Don't go around kissing all the men because I know what you like, Mum. And I had a good chat. And my mum said to me, Paul, I'm in the Lord's hands. And that's the way for us to look at it, isn't it? We're not, as I say, we're not flippant about it. We're going to follow all the guidelines that are given to us as good citizens and loving other people. But ultimately, we're not worried sick about it. We're in the Lord's hands. We're not panicking. We're in the Lord's hands. We're not buying all the toilet rolls we can buy. You can tell that, can't you, actually? You think, you know that there's something around like this because you get different colored toilet paper in your bathroom, and you never used to buy that color usually. Maybe that's flippant about it, but I shouldn't be. But it's serious. But we're in the Lord's hands. And that's the spiritual outlook we've got on life. The Spirit leads us to be at peace with God. The second thing is this. The Spirit leads us to have a love of the truth of God's Word. A love of the truth of God's Word. And that's a tremendous thing to have, isn't it? So the Scriptures are God's Word, and we've got this love for the Scriptures. Maybe we didn't have it before, but we have it now. So we want to read the Bible. We want to study it. We want to know it. We want to hear it preached and explained. We want to grow in our knowledge of God, or to grow in our experience of God. And we want to have a great desire to know God more. So the person that's led by the Spirit will read the Bible, will listen to the Bible, will read books about the Bible, and try to understand the Bible more by the Spirit. That's a sure sign that the Spirit of God is leading you when you've got this hunger, this thirst for the Scriptures. So we have a love for the truth. A third sign the Spirit is leading you is that you have a love for God's people. Never thought you would enjoy going to church and being with the people of God. That's not my kind of people. You may be one day, lots of times you thought, they're not my kind of people. I would never fit in there. But now you find that you want fellowship. You find that you don't want to keep away from fellowship. People in the church might really annoy you, really frustrate you, might really wind you up, but you love them somehow. There is that kinship. They're in the same family. So you'll love the people of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you'll have a desire to be like Jesus. You'll want to become like him. With every breath, you'll want to follow Jesus. Come back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And there's one word we haven't quite looked at in this verse 16. And it's the first word, for. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And that is a connecting word. So it connects us to verse 13 that we read last week. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So the first and foremost meaning of that being led by the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God helps us to put to death the misdeeds of the body that we were thinking about last week. That's the context. And if we put to death the misdeeds of the body, we're going to become more and more like Jesus. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit, a desire to be like Jesus. So we'll want the fruit of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the Spirit makes us like Jesus. These are four beautiful results of being led by the Spirit of God. Actually, really useful stuff, being led by the Spirit. And one more thing as we close. There's one huge result that we haven't mentioned yet about being led by the Spirit, and that's this. We have an assurance that we're children of God. Look again at verse 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You see the logic of what Paul is saying, if you're led by the Spirit of God, then you can know that you're a child of God. So there is a real process going on here. The Spirit is leading me. I'm persuaded of God's truth. I'm enlightened. I'm willing to follow Jesus. I've got a spiritual outlook on life. I love the Bible. I love God's people. I've got a real desire to be like Jesus. So these things are not natural things. I wasn't born with those things. These are not the things of the flesh. But the Spirit leads me into those things. And if you can say about yourself that you have those things and the Spirit of God is leading you, then you can say on the authority of God's word that you are a child of God. And that's the highest thing you can ever say about yourself. That is your identity. You are a child of God. And it's an amazing thing, the most amazing thing ever, to be able to say, God is my Father and I am His child. There's a strange teaching that goes around that says, everyone, the universal fatherhood of God, everyone's a child of God. Well, no. What Paul says here is that only those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So can you, I know with all your faults and failures, and with all my faults and failures as well, but can you say the main direction of my life is being led by the Spirit of God? And if you can say that, then you can rest assured this morning that you are a child of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this verse in Romans. It teaches us so clearly about what it means to be led by the Spirit. And it gives us such an assurance as well that our hearts should be dancing at the fact that our God, this God is our God forever, that you are our Father and that you gently lead us. And so we pray that you, O Spirit of God, would seal the truth of God in our hearts this morning. We know the evil one would try and snatch it away, but we pray that you would plant it deeply into our lives so that we know your leading and your gentle guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.